Well, welcome to what's been in my head all week. After hearing that song, you'll have it in your head all week as well, I think. But every year we use movies to illustrate things from Scripture, and this year we decided to dust off the VCR and put some oldie but goodies on. And this week in Lion King, this is from 1994. Interestingly enough, playing in the theaters again right now in the, I like how everybody's been calling it live action Lion King, even though it's computer generated, but that's where we live today. But this was the largest grossing film in 1994, and it was also became the second largest grossing film, I think Avengers and Avatar have passed it since, but it was the second highest grossing film of all time at that time. And to give you an idea of why you probably still have Lion King on a VCR tape somewhere in your house, over 30 million VHS tapes of Lion King were sold. So there's a pretty good chance that most of you have one somewhere in your house. Now, what made Lion King very different, and it was groundbreaking in its time, and why we chose it is because it's known as the first original Disney story, because Disney always used old stories of Cinderella or Aladdin, we talked about a few weeks ago, or Homeward Bound, but this is the first original story, unless you talk to the writers, because the writers of The Lion King would tell you that it wasn't an original story at all. It was actually a story based on three other stories, sort of mashed up together. And the first thing that they would tell you that it was based on was the story of Moses from the Bible, from the Christian Bible and from the Jewish Pentateuch. The story of Moses is the story of Lion King. That's where they got this idea of a prince who did something wrong. And in this case, I don't want to spoil it for you, but it was 1994. Simba sort of causes the death of his father, but is least responsible for it by his disobedience, and his uncle convinces him that he actually killed his father. In the story of Moses, it's a similar story in the fact that Moses becomes enraged when he sees a Jewish, you know, a fellow Jew being beaten by an Egyptian, and even though he's a prince, he's being raised by the king, which is a great story in itself, he's a prince of Egypt, and he actually beats someone to death for messing with one of his fellow Jews and runs to the desert to hide for 40 years. And that's where they got the story of Simba, you know, causing the death of his father and then being sort of exiled into the wilderness. The scene that we saw where they found him in the wilderness right before that, it comes from the story Moses, and they would tell you that. It also comes from the story of Joseph, also in the New Testament, in the Pentateuch, and in the Christian Bible. We call it the Old Testament. And in the story of Joseph, this is the VeggieTales version, which is how I get all of my Old Testament knowledge, just saying. But this is the Ballad of Little Joe. But in the Bible, the story of Joseph, and this is what they used for Lion King, is the story of a young man who's the favorite of his father, who's going to become a ruler someday. And if you've seen the, this is a great song to get stuck in your head, I Just Can't Wait to Be King. That's the story of Joseph. That's where they got the concept for that. The story of Joseph is that he was destined to be a ruler. And he began to have dreams about ruling over his brothers. And he was foolish enough to tell his older brothers, which if you grew up in a family like I did, or if you have older brothers and sisters, be very careful to what you say to them. Although it sounds like my family was very rough. Like we had actual fist fights in my family among brothers and sisters. And it was funny, I was listening to a podcast of the Duck Dynasty family. Phil has a podcast now, and they were talking about fighting as brothers growing up. And I was like, oh, I can relate to that. But in Joseph's family, they took it a little further because his older brothers were so angry at him for having all these sort of delusions they thought of ruling over them and becoming a ruler someday, that they actually faked his death and sold him into slavery, which I don't know, that's never happened in my family, so I feel blessed. We never faked anyone's death and sold them into slavery, but that's what happened to the story of Joseph. And so here's Joseph was a prince, if you will. He was his father's favorite. He was due to inherit, and he became exiled in Egypt and then later became a great leader who saved Egypt. And so they took from Joseph to create the Lion King. That's what the writers would tell you. Now, they also mixed in a little Shakespeare, a little famous Shakespeare, Hamlet. Now, this is where I realized I actually took English Lit in college, and I don't think I showed up because I still don't know the plot to Hamlet. I know there's some to be or not to be stuff in there, but Uncle Scar, the evil despot who was his uncle who takes over the kingdom, that part was taken from Hamlet. So we have a mashup of two Bible stories. The writers would say that the mashup of two Bible stories and a Shakespeare play become one of the greatest stories of all time. And it answers a question that I think all of us can relate to and all of us can learn from. And it's actually why we do at the movies. Because you might say, like, why would we waste our time, you know, playing movie clips? And I can totally understand if you feel that way. But the reason why is they're universal stories that help us understand universal truth. And one of the things that you don't have to be a lion to deal with is, how do you put your past behind you? Because I know we have the kids in here today, and I am so glad that they're here. And one of the greatest things about kids is their innocence is they don't have a big past yet. But all of them will grow up, and all of them will have, like you and I, things in their past that maybe they're ashamed of or embarrassed by or don't know how to get over. Maybe it wasn't even something they did. Maybe it was something done to them. And all of us deal with that, and we wonder, just like Simba, like, how do you put your behind past you, or whatever Pumbaa said, I don't know. But how do you put that past behind you? And thankfully, we have the answer. I mean, that's the greatest thing. We have Hakuna Matata, right? Like, so thankfully, thanks to the Lion King, we know the answer now. And I can tell you, Hakuna Matata. Now, that's actually a phrase, if we can believe Wikipedia, I don't know. I as far as I went researching it, apparently it's a Swahili phrase. And I'm going to teach you a little language here. Hakuna means there is no in Swahili, according to Wikipedia. That was my research. And Matata means problem. So it's just a phrase that they use a lot. And it's sort of like another phrase that you can't get out of your head, don't worry, be happy. It's literally, there is no Matata problems. Hakuna Matata, there is no problem. So whatever happens, there is no problems. There's no rules, no worries, no problems. We just live in a state where we don't worry about anything. And that's what they taught young Simba. And thanks to Lion King, we now know the answer to all of our past problems, which is just no worries. Hakuna Matata. Now, here's the thing about that. I know that the writers say that they got this story from Moses and Joseph and Hamlet from Shakespeare. But the truth is, they didn't. This part of the story comes from another story. And here's why I know this. Because even though I didn't pay attention in English Lit, reading the summary of Hamlet, which I was like, why do I have to do this? Because I should know this. This is not part of Hamlet. He never had a no worries moment. And I know that Hakuna Matata is not a part of Moses' story. Because the story of Moses is he kills a man in the desert, buries him in the desert, runs away from justice, and he lives in the desert for 40 years working for his father-in-law, Jethro. And so if you've ever worked as a shepherd for 40 years for your father-in-law who's named Jethro, that does not sound very Hakuna Matata-y to me. As far as I can tell, it sounds like he had a really tough time. Same thing with Joseph. Joseph is not very Hakuna Matata either, because he is put in a well, left for dead, and then they go, oh, I got a better idea, at least we can make some cash. Sold into slavery, goes to the land of Egypt. Hakuna Matata works for his a new boss, and he's a hot-looking young man, according to scripture. That's the actual words they use, not mine. I would never say that about another man. But anyway, he's a young hottie, and so the boss's wife takes a liking to him, and he runs away from her, and she totally, like, I don't know. She says that he raped her, he Me Too's her, and he goes to prison and rots in prison. Not Hakuna Matata. I'm trying to go, there's kids in the room, how do we say this? But it's not very Hakuna Matata. So this did not come from any of those stories. And I don't know whether they know this or not, but this is the story that Jesus told. This is a completely different story. This is the story of the prodigal son. Can we go back one slide? I'm sorry, I clicked it twice. This is the story of the prodigal son. This is one of Jesus' most famous stories, actually. And I want to read it to you, and I want you to notice, like, oh, how close this Hakuna Matata thing is. It doesn't say that in Scripture. I don't know what translation you read. Even in New Living, it does. Probably the Message says Hakuna Matata. It's weird like that. But I just want to read this to you because it is very, very, very close to this story. It says, to illustrate a point further, Jesus told this story. He said, a man had two sons, and the younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. Awkward conversation, but okay. And here's where it gets even stranger. It says, so the father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. And, I mean, obviously, in today's society, that would be weird. You know, if your kid's like, I can't wait till you die, and so I'm wondering if I could get a lot of my inheritance. Now, it was even stranger then, because this never happened. But Jesus is talking about this crazy, and they must have gasped when he said it, but he said, so the father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons, and a few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted his money in wild living. So that's Hakuna Matata, right? He moves away from the family business, he moves away from his older brother, he moves away from, you know, the work of the family, because every family was a family business in this situation. They were working on the farm together, and so he moves away, he lives Hakuna Matata, no worries, no problems, there is no problem. But then Jesus puts a little twist in the story, which is the same thing that happens to Simba. Like, Simba is having a great time. Like, there's a whole point there, other than the grubs, which are slimy yet satisfying, where he's living a wonderful life out there, and then he's sort of confronted with his past, and this is what happens here. He said, about the time the money ran out, as it always does, a great famine swept over the land. So we have the prodigal son, his poor choices, you know, not exactly great money management. So what we know is he took half of his father's wealth. So half of what his father had worked for his entire life, he blew through in a rather short time. And then outside forces, because outside forces happen, right? So there's a famine in the land. So it's like, not only has he, made some poor choices with his money that his father gave him, but he's also like, all of a sudden an exterior calamity comes. There's a famine in the land, and he began to starve. And it says he persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And by the way, if you're wondering, still not a good job, right? Like, you know, we would do it if we were starving, but you go, I feed pigs. That doesn't sound great. You know, I've seen, it doesn't sound wonderful, but to Jewish people, this is like Jesus using the worst job they could think of. Like, the worst job they could think of would be to feed an unclean animal like the pigs. And it says, the young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. So this, at this point, is big Matata. This is a problem. Like, now we have money's gone, friends are gone. That happens. Now I'm doing the worst job I can imagine, and I'm stealing food from pigs. And that's when the story takes a turn. And I want to read this to you, and we're going to see in a little bit this thing happened in The Lion King, but I want to read what Jesus said, because Jesus was such a brilliant, brilliant storyteller. It says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and I'm dying of hunger. I'll go home to my father and I'll say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. See, he's like, he realizes, like, what he came to his senses about is he's like, even the people who work for my dad live better than I do. And so I realize, like, I've blown it as a son. I realize he'll never forgive me for what I've done. I realize, like, I have shamed him and I had to hurt him. Like, in The Lion King, we have this guilt and shame that Simba has because he feels like, due to his disobedience, he's caused the death of his father. Well, the prodigal son didn't cause the death of his father, but I don't know if that would have been a lot worse. Because imagine, like, the pain of your son being gone. And the pain of knowing your son would just take his inheritance early and not be part of the family business, but just want the money and walk away. But he comes up with a phrase that isn't super Hakuna Matata. And in fact, I will say I tried to fit it into the song and it just doesn't work. And I don't know if you know this, Elton John wrote the music. That's why the music is so great in Lion King. Elton John wrote it, but I don't think Elton John could even make Father, I Have Sinned Against Both Heaven and You. What a wonderful I don't think it would work. You know, it doesn't have the same Hakuna Matata, the Father, I have forgiven against you and I have sinned against both heaven. It doesn't work. So I will say I love the Bible, but can't sing it. But it's a pretty powerful statement, right? Because see, what happened in this story that Jesus told, and this is not a real story, it's just like The Lion King, it's Jesus telling a story to make a point. See, what Jesus is saying is that the young man, when he came to his senses, he realized, like, oh, I have sinned. Now, we think of sin as like breaking the rules or like, oh, it's naughty when we sin. No. He's like, oh, I have done something harmful both to my father and to heaven. Not to heaven like, oh, the stuff up there, but to, I would use a Lion King term, the circle of life. Like, I have sinned. I have done the wrong thing and it is harming me. And so I repent of that. And so basically what Jesus is saying is a truth that it's just, it's still true. This young man realized that, like, our irresponsibility always becomes the responsibility of someone else. Like, the fact that he left his family business and he went out and blew the money, like, all of a sudden he realized, like, oh, I'm going to have my father care for me. Like, I've got to at least go, hey, please hire me because I need your help because I have blown all the money you worked half your life, your whole life to make. And that's just true, isn't it? It's still true. It's you can't get past it. You know, there is no sort of jungle that we can go live Hakuna Matata, only in Disney films. Like, if you don't meet your responsibilities, eventually they will become someone else's and someone else will have to bear the burden. If you don't pay your bills, you know, you always think, oh, well, that's a big corporation. Well, guess what the big corporation do? They don't go, oh, I think I'll pay that for you. They pass it on to the other people. And same thing in the medical industry. And hey, if you don't do your job, someone else will have to do it. You don't care for your children, someone else will have to do it. You don't clean up your mess, someone else eventually will have to do it. And that's what Jesus knew, and it's still true. And that's what hit that young man, like, oh, I have sinned because guess what? Now, I can translate it and it sounds better, I guess. So if you want to use Swahili or Lion Kingy, our Hakuna Matata always turned into someone else's big matata, okay? So remember the big problem thing because that's just the way it works. And see, here's the thing about this that I think we shouldn't miss. I mean, it's pretty powerful. It's pretty profound. Because do you notice that this young man, he doesn't just say, Father, I have wronged you. And see, you're thinking of sin as being some sort of religious term, but just think of it as being like, I have wronged. I have done wrong. He doesn't just say, I have wronged you, Father. He says, I've sinned both against you and against God's plan, heaven. That's what he was using heaven. He always used heaven as sort of a kingdom. He'd say the kingdom of heaven is near you. You're part of the kingdom of heaven. Because he was saying as a plan, like this young man, by leaving and taking his wealth and going out and blowing the money and then coming back hungry and broke and needing help, he's like, I have sinned. I have wronged not only my father, that's pretty obvious, but why would he say he wronged God? And I know why you think it is. You might think this morning, oh, that's because God's a scorekeeper. God's in heaven. He's up there, you know, keeping score, going, oh, this is a bad kid. Look what he did. Oh, boy, he has wronged me. No, no, no. It doesn't affect God. He's sad about it, but it doesn't affect him in the fact that this kid not keeping his commitment doesn't harm God. God's just fine. So why would he say that? I'll tell you why he would say it. Because it's sort of this. It's like the circle of life is real. That's the thing we can learn from the Lion King. Like, even though they're you know, it's a made-up story, it's true that there is a circle of life. There is a way things work. I think I'm frozen up here. But it's like there's a way things work. There's a circle of life that happens. And so if everyone sort of leaves the family farm and takes their inheritance and blows it on wild living, the whole system breaks down. So he's like, he realizes like, oh my goodness, not only have I wronged my father, but I really wronged everyone else, because there's a plan that God had for this system that we have where we care for others. And that's also a truth. I think that's a true story from the Lion King. There's a circle of life. There's a way things work. And it's funny because we keep finding it out in 2019. We'll still be like, you know, we'll remove a predator from a system and then all of a sudden the system crashes, or we go, hey, we ought to have wolves somewhere, and we'll put wolves in and it destroys everything. I've told this story before, but they brought bunnies, cute little bunnies, to Australia and almost destroyed the country because they took over everything. And we're really careful now to go, oh, like one predator, go to Florida, like they're having a problem with snakes and gators I think. It's a movie, but I think the snakes are winning at this point. Like, we realize there is a circle of life. There's actually like a plan in place, and we might not attribute it to God like this young man did, but I think he was right to. And guess what, man? There's real evil in this world. The hyenas are real. They're a thing. That's not a made-up thing. And then the Bible says about the young man, he said that he finally came to his senses. And finally, Simba comes to his senses, right? That's the good news. I think Nala, his childhood friend who becomes his wife, God has a way of sending women. I know Michelle knocks sense in me occasionally, because not that she doesn't try all the time, but I don't listen most of the time. But Nala knocks some sense into him, and Rafiki, I never remember the monkey's name. Yeah, thank you very much. Rafiki knocks some sense into his head. And even though it just says those words in scripture, here's the great thing about At the Movies. We get to see it. So I want to show you this, because I think Jesus did a great job of laying out a story we can understand, but I am so appreciative of the Lion King. Even though they didn't realize sort of they were illustrating the prodigal son, check this out, because it will help you see what it means to come to your senses. That's pretty great advice, isn't it? The past hurts, but you can either learn from it or run from it. And I think that's a pretty good picture of what happened to the son in the story that Jesus told. Can you advance that for me, Kate, please? It's a good picture of what happens when he came to his senses. And in the story of the Lion King, Simba goes back and he becomes the king that he was born to be. And he defeats his uncle and he defeats the hyenas and he brings back balance to the circle of life. But here's the thing I have to tell you. I have an even better ending for you. Because in this story, like, Simba struggles and he fights and he does all of these things on his own. But this story that Jesus told actually has an even better ending. And I'm going to ask you to bring it up, and I'm going to read it off the screen because I've lost mine. And I want the band to come back up here. But I want to just read this to you because I think it's an even better ending for our story. It says, so he returned home to his father. This young man who had blown his father's inheritance. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. And you know what that means? Not only was his father happy to see him, he'd been looking for him. That's the only way you see someone coming a long way away. His father is spending time looking for him, waiting for him to come home. And it says, filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, and he embraced him, and he kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, he gives this speech. He says, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him, and get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And he killed the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now is found. That's the ending Jesus gave, almost. There's a little more to the story. Maybe you want to read that and watch the end of The Lion King, because he does have an older brother who's like, wait a minute, I've been here working the whole time. How come he gets a party? And that's another story for another day. So there was real things he had to deal with, and the father even said to his older brother, hey, you still own the company. So it seems like this young man was having to go back and work for his brother, and maybe it wasn't perfect, but guess what? The welcome that father had for him, Jesus said, is the way God feels when we return to our senses. He doesn't go, hey, I saw what you did and we need to talk about it. He's like, you are welcome, because just the fact you have come back to me to face this, you know, if even though you've learned from that past and we're going to start fresh. In fact, he throws them a party, and what a beautiful, beautiful picture about everything that Jesus says about God. When we return to our senses, we turn from our irresponsibility to responsibility, to following Christ. And it's not as catchy, and it doesn't, you know, you're not going to hum it walking out. But man, that's a much, much better than Hakuna Matata. Father, I have sinned against both you and heaven. I've sinned not only against people, but also against God's plan for all people when I sin. And Jesus told a story, not where we would have to go back and fight for the kingdom, and that's a great ending, but and take on our uncle and throw the hyena. But Jesus told a story that when we do that to our Father in heaven, when we admit our sin and come back to him, he throws a party. Hakuna Matata. Dear Jesus, we are so grateful for this story. God in heaven, it's so amazing to sort of hear the story and realize that when we do return to you, when we repent and turn away from our sin, and we acknowledge that we've been wrong, that you greet us with a party, not with a bunch of reminders of our past. God, I pray for every person in this room. God, I know it's not a mistake they're here this morning, and I know every one of them, unless they're a small child, like all of us, at least as teenagers and adults, we already have a past. And God, I pray that by your strength, we would learn from it instead of running from it. And God, we are so grateful for the welcome you will give us, and help us to be that kind of church. In your name we pray, amen.